Turn with me to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. That is found on page 831, if you're here in person. Are we okay on the sound back there? I'm hearing some popping. Is that, who knows? The great mystery of why my microphone once in a while just goes pop. No idea. If you get it figured out, please let me know. Actually, don't let me know. It's not going to do any good. Let Norm know. I just get up here and talk. He's the one who does all the magic behind the scenes. And the guys on the back table there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 14, Jesus says this then. Well, I'll back up to verse 5. It says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not go on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask of him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Yesterday, my little girl turned 18. This is, I don't know where she's about, two here, 2 years old, and she grew up and she matured and picked a better football team. When we look at growing up and we look at maturing, we see moments like this and we wonder, where did the time go? Every one of us who's a parent, every one of us who's a grandparent, we wonder, where did it go? I look at the picture on the left in the little Bears uniform, and I was thinking this week, and I couldn't find the picture I was looking for, the picture of Ellie and Megan carrying Caitlin around when we were still at Timothy back in 2004. Since then, Ellie and Megan are married. I was honored to be able to perform their ceremony. Caitlin is a senior in high school. All of our kids have grown up. Or are growing up. And so we're in this process, and as we do, we wonder where the time goes, and we wish for a moment, I wish it could just stop. But we want to let it linger. But really, would we really want that? Would we really want time to stop? Or do we have this expectation or this longing? What is going to be in 15 years? What's my kids going to be 15 years from now? Where are they going to be? Or whether it's your kids, whether they're 5 or 25 or 45, or whether it's your grandkids who are 5 or 10 or 20 or 30, we have this wondering, what's next? The reality is all of us are in the process of becoming. All of us are not the same as we were 10 years ago. Just look at pictures. None of us are the same as we were 10 years ago. We're all in the process of becoming. In the process, we're being shaped, we're being molded, we're being formed, we're being influenced. And while we think we can shape ourselves in this process, while we think we can be at work and make ourselves into who we want us to be, it's more likely that the things that are outside of us shape us and define us and influence us into what we are becoming. That's why we tell our kids, choose your friends wisely. Choose your influence wisely. Question is, are we going to be intentional about what shapes us? To be intentional about what shapes us means we have to be aware of what shapes us. What is forming us? So the question is, who am I and who am I becoming? Jason Earley, in his book, The Common Rule, uses a picture of a mirror, or of a broken mirror. He said, shards of this mirror litter the earth. We are shards of the mirror. We are broken reflectors of the image of God, redeemed by Christ, and together we fully reflect, more fully reflect, the image of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Our true identity cannot be found, then, by looking inside of us, because as mirrors, we are reflectors of what is around us. If we look inside, what we'll see is a mass of warring identities. We'll see a mass of expectations that we put on ourselves, that the versions of we think what we ought to be, warring against the version of what our parents think we ought to be, whether they are here or gone, versus the version that our spouse thinks what we ought to be, or that culture urges us to be, or that what our boss wants us to be. And so we look inside, we've got all these competing perspectives of what is it? You may know somebody who doesn't handle that well, and you see them, and as they go from group to group and different people to different people, they become different people and whoever they're around with. Their group, their who they are is defined by them and who they are at the moment based on what is informing them from the outside. In our process of becoming, we can't look inside to choose our identity for the day. It's actually looking out to figure out who's influencing us. Who are we becoming? Who are we reflecting in our lives? But staring at other broken shards of glass will only make us more broken. When we stare at other shards of glass, we have to understand who we're paying attention to. Is it the news that shapes us? Is that where we're getting our definition of how we understand and relate in this world? Is that the version we choose to listen to? If so, we're being manipulated. It's not truth that they're after. They want to make a profit. And so they give us the bad news and fear-mongering and the things that we'll agree with and the things that we will disagree with and the snippets that they want us to hear so that we won't think deeply about it. And it makes us angry. And it makes us mad at the other side, and it makes us mad at our side, and we sit in self-righteous indignation and judgment and think, if they only knew as much as I knew, then they'd have it all figured out. If the news forms us, it forms us in such a way that we get scared and we get angry and they get rich. Maybe it's social media that informs us. Constant notifications that vie for our attention pull us away from those who are present with us in person to those we think we may know on our phone. And nothing of it is real. Social media posts are what people want us to see. And if it's not a good picture, it doesn't get posted. I have a friend through the Strategic Renewal. He's a good friend, lives out in Washington State. And if you look at his social media posts on Facebook, he's ridiculously good looking, and his wife's really cute, and all of his kids could be models. And everything they post on it is they go up here and they went hiking for the day. And I'd love to bring my family hiking, but we live in Illinois. But they went hiking in Washington, they're top of this mountain, and they're looking all over this gorgeous peak, and you get this cute family photo up there, and the next day they're out doing something else, and they're showing these pictures of their life every day. And this past weekend, they decided as a family they were going to all make gingerbread houses, so they have their picture of all six of them, husband and wife and four kids, and they all have this gingerbread house. It's like, all this looks so cool. And if you pay attention to these things that keep informing you, think, well, jealousy sets in, and envy, and comparisons, and feelings of worth. And it's like, wow, they always have it together. But thankfully, I know him, and they don't always have it together. Because that's reality. Nobody ever puts pictures on Facebook of us blowing up at our kids. But if we only listen to what is put on Facebook and what is put on social media, then it begins to form us. And we then are longing for something that's not even real and feeling bad when we don't attain it. And without even realizing it, we're being formed. Maybe it's a constant barrage of emails, tweets, twits, posts. Twits, not a word. Texts, there we go. Emails, texts, tweets, posts, and by twits, messages that vie for our attention, and all these things that say, this is important, when in reality, if we turned our phones off for an hour, nobody would miss us and nobody would care. What's forming us? What's forming you? Our response then as to who God is to understand who we are. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because if we look at who God is and we look at who we are, we understand very quickly that God is God and we are not. And then the question is, who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the God of the universe who created it, who spoke it into being, who gave up himself in Christ Jesus to redeem it so that we could have life and life abundantly? Or are you going to trust somebody's perspective on Facebook who looks really good? Or Instagram who has everything perfect? Or your neighbors or whoever it is? We realize very quickly that though we are in the process of becoming, we're not there yet. We're not the ones who love perfectly. We're not the ones who are slow to anger. We're not the ones who abound in steadfast love. That we aren't the ones who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We are still shards of mirror reflecting the glory of God incompletely. Paul acknowledges this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 and 12, the great love chapter. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And we realize when we look at the Lord's Prayer, when we pray this, that we understand who God is. And we understand who we are, and so we put our lives, we put our will, we put our desires in submission to the one who holds it all together, to the one who holds everything in his hand, to the one who knows the plans that he has for us. Reality is, we don't know what's going to happen 3 minutes from now. I was reminded that this week. A pastor friend of mine on through Strategic Renewal, one of the people that used to work with him in a church a number of years ago, his son was crossing this crosswalk at school, was hit by a car and died this week at 11 years old. Thankfully, they have the hope that is in Christ Jesus. But we have no idea what is coming next, people. We make our plans. When we understand who God is, when we understand who we are, when we understand that we belong to God, that we are chosen, that we are adopted, that we are beloved, which we celebrated at communion this morning, then we respond by placing ourselves in his hands. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not giving up. It's not just like hands off, I'm not going to do anything. It's a matter of trusting the one who is trustworthy. And so we come then in the Lord's Prayer to the understanding that we trust in the one who's trustworthy by praying for our requests and our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread And forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Faith is daily, isn't it? Faith is a daily decision. It's a way of being formed once again to be reminded daily that we're in the process of becoming like Jesus and we have to trust God for all things. Our focus is on God and we're letting God define us. We're letting God fill us and we're letting God's word and God himself form us instead of politics, instead of social media, instead of the news, instead of the pressures of our jobs, instead of other people's opinions. It's trusting every day for God's provision. Give us today our daily bread. Some of us know that lesson well. Some of us are living that lesson at the moment. Some of us have been there and done that and remember it, that we have to trust God to make in some way these bills met this month. Over the years, a lesson of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, later on in Matthew chapter 6, about what we will eat and what we'll drink and not worrying about it. Over the last years, I've had to learn that lesson. Many of you have had to learn that lesson. Jesus says, why are you worrying about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear? The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus doesn't say, seek first what you need. He doesn't say, seek first your selfish desires. He doesn't say, seek first anything but the kingdom. Why? Because this is not about just getting what we need. It's about spiritual formation. It's about trusting the God who is trustworthy. It's about reaching out to the one who can and meet all of our needs. As a chorus of the hymns, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and all the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's in turning to Jesus that we understand and realize his incredible grace and his incredible love, because it refocuses our perspective. Trusting in the God who's trustworthy, trusting in the one who will provide. So we pray, give us today our daily bread. And we are instructed to pray, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we have also forgiven our debtors. You ever stopped to pause for a moment to understand what it is that we're praying here? We're asking God to forgive us the same way that we forgive other people. Because God's grace is given so freely for the vastness of our sins. For the vastness of the sin that we don't even know we can commit, that is an affront to the glory of God. God intends and expects us to forgive others who slight us once in a while. Who just happen to look at us cross-eyed and we get all bent out of shape about it. It's the only line of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus pauses to clarify after he's done teaching it. Did you notice that? He gets done, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We'll look at that one in a minute. Then he clarifies it. He clears this up. He makes sure we get it. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Why in the world does Jesus make this so in your face clear? Because if you're not forgiving people who sin against you, you don't understand the grace of God that forgives you. And if you understand the grace of God that forgives you, I'm reminded as I was preaching here, I don't have it here, but as Paul says, of all the sinners, I am the worst, not I was the worst. I am the worst. If you don't realize the greatness of the gift of the grace of God to you, then you're not going to extend it to others. But if you understand the greatness of the salvation and the gift of God to you, then the things that others do against you are pale in comparison. It's a reflection of our heart. A heart that is shaped and formed by the goodness and the grace of God. It highlights the importance, the internal, eternal importance of our character development, of our spiritual formation. That our spiritual formation is not just for now, but for eternity. And so even our requests focus ourselves upon God. It leads to the rest of the end of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A readiness of going into the world, a readiness of going into our day. The challenge is to be reminded once again that the battle we face in our life today is not just, as Paul says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We often forget and completely miss that we are in a spiritual battle. That's part of life that I'll admit, I go through days, there are days I don't even think about it. But the reality is we're in a spiritual battle. And the battle is what's going to vie for the attention of our heart? What's going to vie for the attention of our heart? What are we going to focus on that is going to shape us and form us and inform our character? That's a battle. This here is a battle. Are we going to allow this to shape us, or are we going to allow this to shape us? That's a spiritual battle. How are we going to live out our faith journey? Daniel Henderson, in his book, The Prayer God Loves to Answer, writes, "When we pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We recognize our own inability to overcome the temptations and snares of our daily life. So we entrust our welfare to the one who is our victor." And this turns our perspective once again toward God. It reorients our focus on Him. Each day, we have a choice. What am I going to allow into my life that is going to shape me? Every day, we have that choice. We get up in the morning. In the book, The Common Rule, I mentioned earlier, it's a book on daily and weekly faith formation steps. And one of the things in his book is just a simple scripture before phone. That's one of his daily rules, scripture before phone. Because what is going to shape you? Am I going to let whatever comes across this thing shape me? Or am I going to let this shape me? Each morning presents us the question, who am I and who am I becoming? We can't become who God calls us to be when we stare at broken reflections of ourselves. From our phones, from others, from our job, from politics, from news. For when we do, we will see shards of glass, shards of who we were meant to be. When we open God's word, what we see is what God says about us, that we are His child, that we are beloved, that we are cherished, and that we are in the process of becoming more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. The question for us today is, what are you turning to let shape you? Let's pray. Lord God, forgive us when we turn to so many other things to let shape us. God, when we turn to the things of the day, when we turn to the news cycle or to the politics or to other people's perspectives or to social media or to all these other things, God, that vie for our attention to shape us. God, forgive us when we just push aside what you call us to be and what you want us to be in the way that you want it to shape us. God, I just pray that you would shape us. Put us in us a desire to be formed in your likeness. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord's Prayer that does just that. That is a spiritual formation for us to become more and more like you. So God, may that be the desire of our heart as we realize what's shaping us. God, shape us with your word, we pray. Amen.